Hello and welcome to Reddit on Reddit, the internet's auditory version of Reddit. I'm Nelson Allingham, joined by Michael Camber Campbell.
Hello, Nelson. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you going?
I am also not too bad.
That's good. Just two not too bad dudes.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be here next week.
Yep. See what how we feel next week. It's probably going to be not too bad again. I'm just going to be put it out there. That's generally how I feel.
1 week. Just to throw you off, when you go, how are you feeling? I'm going to be like, I am awful.
Okay, yeah. And I'll be like, oh, I'm not too bad.
Anyway, moving on to Reddit on Reddit.
Camber, what did you get up to this week?
This week, it's a shorter week as well, because obviously a public holiday where we are at the moment.
Still, seven days in the week, though.
I'm saying. A shorter work week.
Yeah.
So today I've...
I know. I just wanted to clarify that there were still 7 days this week.
Well, common misconception. This week's actually 6.5 days.
Right.
Yeah. Wednesday.
Is that?
Goes till 12 p.m. and then it's Thursday.
Yeah. Is that why we have a leap year or something? I think it's to adjust for that weird... That weird days mid-year we have. Yeah. Yeah.
So I haven't been working that much, which has been nice. I tell you what I did do the other day, Nelson.
Oh, what did you do?
I saw a movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Unlike you.
But I have some opinions about this movie, so I thought I should tell you on the internet.
Okay.
I saw The Mummy.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the reboot of The Mummy, the start of the Universal Dark Universe.
Can I say from memory... Mm-hmm. You liked the first Mummies?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't mind it either, too. They're pretty just like...
And then this had come out and it had just been getting shit on by everyone.
Right.
Just absolutely shit on. I think it's on about 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
Which isn't good. Rotten Tomatoes is, you know, it's not a perfect system. But it's a pretty good indication.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I think it's still reliable. People crap on Rotten Tomatoes. So I was like, no, I think it's good. I think it's a good system.
The problem with it is it can skew things. So if everyone goes, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. It's fine. That can end up in the high 90s because technically it is good.
Yeah.
So that's where it kind of, you know, it
I know. But I think that's fine.
Okay. Anyway, I went in to see it. And I'm curious about this whole Universal Dark Universe thing. Do you know about it that they're trying to build?
No.
They're trying to build their own cinematic universe like Marvel has.
Okay.
But around the classic Universal monsters. So the Mummy, the Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Right.
Creature from the Black Lagoon. And make their own like Avengers team.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is starting to sound dumb.
Yeah. Well, so I was curious because that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But I quite like the Mummy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I like Tom Cruise. I know he's a crazy guy, but his movies have normally
been
good.
I think he's fun.
So it started, and for like the first 30 minutes, I'm like, man, what is everyone talking about? This is good. I'm liking this.
Yeah.
And then, oh boy, does it just... It's got this weird tone thing. You think of The Mummy kind of creepy and whatnot. And Tom Cruise is kind of like a big action guy.
Yeah.
But then they add Jake Johnson, who's from New Girl. He plays Nick.
Right, yep.
Into it
as
a comic relief character.
Okay.
And he is just in a different movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Is he, you know, it's all about Tom Cruise's curse and the Mummy wants to use his body as a vessel for the ultimate evil.
Yeah.
And Jake Johnson has been possessed by the Mummy to try and get Tom Cruise to do it.
Okay.
But there are points in you know, a pretty serious movie where Tom Cruise will look over and he'll see Jake Johnson as a creepy zombie. Doing like a come hither, like, come on, buddy, let's go. Like
really?
A really hammy to the camera.
Like, it's meant to be like the, you know, like an evil kind of henchman lackey of a supervillain that's, you know, a bit bumbling and whatever. And
the tone just does not match at all. It goes from like, you know, I say serious in quotation marks because it's The Mummy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it taking itself quite seriously movie to think this, like, wacky Jake Johnson, like, hamming it up for the camera. And then, in the middle of the movie, the movie just stops for a while. Russell Crowe comes in.
Right.
And they just do about 20 to 30 minutes of setup for all the other films that are coming out.
What?
So, he plays Dr. Jekyll.
Right.
He takes Tom Cruise to and a facility, and then the facility just houses all these different compartments for different monsters that are coming soon. And then that goes away, and then it goes back to the plot of the movie.
Why is it? Oh, man, that's so... know.
It's a bad movie.
It's so bad.
Which is a shame, because it could have been an alright movie.
Yeah, that's right. Just do what you did with the other ones, that's fine.
But I did hear an opinion that I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Which is, they're obviously trying to do their interconnected universe like Marvel was.
Yeah.
And they're doing it with all these famous monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But someone said that wouldn't it make more sense, instead of doing the big budget, the $120 million movies, kind of like Get Out just did, do them all really small budget horror movies.
Yeah.
Because then they're always going to make a profit. You make it for $2, $3 million, it makes $30, $40 million. Mm. And then just interconnect those. But then you're also not alienating all the people that loved all the old horror movies that you're...
Yes, but I mean, the reason why they spend millions of dollars on stuff is because then it makes $1 million again. Like, there are probably, potentially, more people that will see the newest Mummy than they did that saw Get Out.
Yeah.
And Get Out was a far... I obviously didn't see the Mummy, but probably a far, far better film. So, I think it's just that idea that spending money makes money. That's,
yeah.
That's what they're going on. And it's stupid. Don't get me wrong. It's stupid. But, yeah, I don't know. It's how the world works. That's why they get, you know, and probably a lot of the money that they're spending on it is the big actors like Russell Crowe and Tom Cruise.
Did you want to know who's
going to
be in the Dark Universe, Nelson?
Sure. Run me through it.
Tom Cruise?
Yep. Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe. Yep. Yep.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, all right.
Is the Invisible Man.
Okay.
Javier Bardem is Frankenstein's monster.
Okay, who's he? Because I don't know who Javier Bardem
no
is.
No Country for Old Men.
Okay, yeah, sure. Vaguely. I vaguely know who that
Pirates
is.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Okay. Right, but so, that's my point. That's what they're spending money on. They're spending money on the actors.
And here's the weird thing, right? If you're trying to start like an ongoing cinematic universe like Marvel has, obviously you want it to be going for quite a while. You know, Marvel's almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
Everyone they cast is over 50.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. You can't have action stars in 10 years' time that are going to be 60 years old.
No, but then it'll be like, they'll just pass it over to them. Like... This is my thing. You're giving it too much credit. You're like, oh no, what are they going to do? They've already botched it.
Yeah,
Cameron.
Oh yeah.
They don't give a crap, okay?
This isn't the first time they've botched it. Do you remember about 2 years ago, there was a movie called Dracula Untold?
Kind
of mid-budget kind of movie.
Right.
And that was the start of their cinematic dark universe.
Okay.
And then it bombed and they're like, scrap it. It's no longer part of it. It's going to be The Mummy that starts it now.
Okay.
So they discredited that as ever having existed. And now they're going to start with The Mummy.
Scrap it again. Okay. This time we've got it. Dr. Jekyll was tight. This one definitely is going
to start. Everyone wants to see Russell Crowe as an action star.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not liking this idea.
No, it's bad. It's a bad idea.
But again, the problem is it's probably made a ton of money. And the Dr. Jekyll movie
actually,
probably going to take
actually don't
a ton
think
of
it
money.
Has made a ton of money. Which I find very funny.
Really?
But again, it hasn't opened overseas.
Yeah.
It's this weird thing where...
It will. That's the problem.
And they make these movies specifically for overseas markets. Because in The Mummy, there's all this dialogue that is so on the nose. You know?
Yeah.
But when you kind of think of it through the lens of someone that doesn't speak English, that's probably a lot clearer for them to follow. There's a point where someone goes... Wow, I mean, thanks for everything and thanks for raising me back from the dead like that. Like, that's actual dialogue in the movie.
That's so terrible.
Yeah, but if you are foreign and you don't speak that language, it's probably easy for you to follow.
If that was written as, subtitles, I'd be like, oh, they probably said something really meaningful, but there's no direct translation. This is what they came up with.
There's some foreign film markets that do play them in English, and people do know English. It's just not their first language.
Yeah.
So they will watch them in English. That would be easier to follow if you make it as simple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably going to make a whole bunch of money overseas, and then we're stuck with this dumb universe.
Yeah. I'm just going to go off on a little bit of a path here about language, because it reminded me of a story about people who don't speak English as their first language.
Yeah.
It was like my sister's friend or something. She was from Sri Lanka. Anyway, she learned English over there,
mm-hmm.
and she came to Australia, started working, and everyone she'd meet would be like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And you know, that's just the opening phrase
mm-hmm.
that 99% of Australians use. "Hey, how's it going?" You go, "Good. How about you?" "Yeah, good." That's it. You don't actually care how the person's going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this girl one day got into an elevator after a bit of a stressful day, apparently. Uh-huh. And the guy in the elevator goes, "Hey, how's it going?" And she goes, "Are you really asking how I'm going? Because I don't know if everybody really cares." She's like, "I'm going to tell you how I'm going because I know nobody really asked this question and wants an answer, but I'm going to give it to you." And then told you...
all their problems.
Yeah, all their problems. And then the story continues where he goes, "You should meet my friend." And then years later, she married his friend.
Wow.
So pretty funny story. Wow. But I think it is so true.
Wait, did he say that? In the sense
that, you know, English to people that don't speak it as their first language, there's just so many misconstrued things, and just as simple as, "Hey, how's it going?" We don't really mean it. It's just like a greeting. But to anybody else, when you learn language.
This guy that was like, "Hey, you should meet my friend."
Yeah.
Was he being like, "You're complaining a lot. My friend complains a lot." You, like, what made...
No, because I think that, like, even though she was sort of having a frustrated day, was slightly sarcastic and joking as well. Right. So I think just her sense of humor.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know.
Yes. That seems like a weird thing to be like, "Oh, actually, now that you've said all this, I should set you up with my friend." Seems like a weird logic step. And I'm glad it worked out because they got married.
I don't know. I think you're reading too much into that.
I don't think I am. They got married off this. I think they didn't read enough into this.
I don't know enough about the conversation for us to make any sort of judgment.
I want you to defend what he did.
Okay. You know what, Cambo? I'm not going.
How was your week, Justin? I've ranted enough about The Mummy.
About, yeah, movies in general. God, you're so annoying sometimes,
Cambo. I won't do any more movies this week.
Okay.
Wonder Woman was fine.
I want to see that. Let's stop talking about that.
Sorry.
Yesterday, I played another round mm-hmm. of D&D.
Ah, okay. So, for the listeners of the show, Nelson's been slowly transitioning into an avid D&D player.
An avid D&D player. Fact, well, thing is, we only catch up once every, like, month, maybe, or something. So, I can't really say I'm avid at all. It's really hard to get into something.
But you're really quite enjoying it.
Yeah, really enjoying it. And, DM this week did something pretty cool
mm-hmm.
with my character, based around a story that I told. And that's really interesting. I really like it. I encourage way more people to play D&D. And as I've got older, and I think D&D has got bigger, mm-hmm. especially with people like Dan Harmon
mm-hmm.
and other famous people that play D&D.
Brad Pitt, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's why I had so many kids. Ryan he just Gosling. Had this really epic campaign that he wanted to start. And him and Angelina Jolie were like, "We can't do this with just the two of us." And that's why they have like 7 kids.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. I think people should play it. Give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's fun. That includes you, Cambo.
Okay.
And because now our friend, Eden,
uh-huh.
You're like a trio kind of thing.
Yep.
He's also played D&D for the first time the other week and he really enjoyed it. So now you're the weird one. Cambo? You're the weird one.
I'm not against it, Nelson. I've just never been in the circumstance to play it.
Sure. You're judging me quietly.
No.
Mm.
Look at me. My microphone is on a box of Batman comics now.
That's true.
How could I possibly judge you?
I don't know. You're doing it internally. I can tell. Anyway, I guess we'll get into Reddit, Cambo.
Yes, please.
All right. This first Reddit on Reddit is by The Nutscracker. So this was like a image somebody posted of a quote, and then underneath somebody's answer or reaction yep. to the quote. The quote is, it said, "People run from rain, but sit in bathtubs full of water," as by Charles Bukowski.
Uh-huh.
I think he's a comedian.
Very similar to a Jerry Seinfeld bit.
Well, it's just observational comedy, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah. And then the comment underneath goes, "Wow, Bukowski, so profound. Do you also bathe fully clothed, dickhead?" And then he's got, in quotation marks, "Oh, isn't it funny that a person will eat when they're hungry, but duck when you throw an apple pie at their face?" That comment was by Artfucker96. It's very good username to use for that comment. Yeah. But I do think that is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something... I'm so glad this person is like on my wavelength here.
Yeah.
Where people kind of say some stuff like that. Like, "Oh, so weird are we. You know, humans do these weird things." And it's like, well, you know... There's circumstances around everything.
I hate all those like pseudo philosophical sayings.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, "Oh yeah, I finally found the TV remote," and then I was like, "Geez, it's always in the last place you think to look, isn't it?"
Okay.
Well, yeah, because if I found it, I wouldn't keep thinking of places to look, would I?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's in the last place I think to look.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not picking it up from behind my couch, being like, "Oh, but maybe it is actually in the cupboard."
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That means nothing. Stop saying it and shut up.
Yeah. And you know, and I also think in terms of when I was younger, this was a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
It happened where, like, you know, if I was eating my dinner and I didn't finish it all,
yep,
my mom would be like, "Well, there's children starving in Africa."
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, and at the time I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess I better eat it." Again, this is the Italian thing coming out, right? From my mother. This is why I force feed myself and eat until I'm sick, because it's just been ingrained in such a young age. Anyway, so, but then as I got older, I was like, wow, there is just so many circumstances surrounding why, you know, African children are starving. It has nothing to do with the fact that I didn't eat my dinner, okay? It's not like this food was ever going to get to them.
And also, if there's children starving in Africa, share some.
Yeah.
Don't finish your food. Share some with the starving kids.
Exactly. Put it in a takeaway box.
It always seemed weird to me, over. Being like, other people are starving, so you eat more than you could possibly eat.
I know.
What? That seems like it seems like rubbing it in their face. Yeah. You're like, "I don't even want to eat this. I'm just going to eat it because you're starving."
Exactly. "I'm going to throw up because I'm so full, but I'm going to shove more food down my throat."
I just have so much here.
Yeah. And even just the idea of, it's kids starving in Africa. Like, well, there's kids starving in Australia and probably, you know, lots of local bases. And look, kids in Africa have it harder. But I'm saying you don't have to go as far to give people food. Like,
you know? If you want to give my food to someone, don't go to Africa.
Yeah.
That you can give it to the homeless shelter.
It won't last the plane ride. No. The chicken Kiev, the half a chicken Kiev I didn't eat. Just like...
Wait, why were you not finishing a chicken Kiev?
I know. Do you know... I don't know why, but...
Nelson, there are starving kids in Africa.
As I said that, I was like, "Oh, that's your probably my favorite food." So you're probably like, "What? Oh my God, you asshole."
"Oh, okay, I'll get rid of all this chocolate as well." Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I'm likely to do that. I'm not a chocolate person. I sometimes throw out chocolate. If I like eat some... Because it's like, if I have a packet of chocolate and I'll eat a little bit and I'm like, "Oh, I don't really like chocolate. I just sometimes have a craving for sugar." And I'm like, well, this is, you know, bad for me. Mm-hmm. So I just throw it out now. So I'm just never tempted. It doesn't really bother me too much. And then, you know, that's what I do. But people like you are starving for chocolate.
We're a regular odd couple, Nelson.
Yeah, I reckon.
That makes the electric chemistry between us on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that's a problem. Did we ever have this problem when we lived together? That, like, you wouldn't have chocolate and stuff, and I'd just be like, "Oh, well, I'll eat it because it's there."
I think one time you gave me the rest of your Easter eggs one year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're kind of like the bin.
Yeah.
Think of like me. I would have thrown those out, but
as the like the overflow bin in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've eaten this much. I could put it in the bin, or my mouth would just be lined up with the end of the bench.
Exactly.
And you can scrape it into
just
there.
Slide it in to a funnel.
Just, you know, knife on the chopping block, scrape it from the chopping block into my mouth. Mm.
I didn't even take the foil off.
No.
All right. Anyway, the point is, I think some people are stupid for the things that they say. Okay, I have another an interesting one here, Cambo.
Okay.
This is by Mano Lorca. And it's a photo of an article clipping, newspaper clipping, from August 14th, 1912.
Yeah, okay.
It's in the Rodnan and Automatea Times.
Mm-hmm.
So, really popular newspaper, obviously. I'm sure you've all heard of that. Anyway, it's in the section Science, Notes, and News. The heading of this particular bit is Coal Consumption Effect Affecting Climate Change. Affecting climate, sorry.
Coal consumption affecting climate.
Coal consumption affecting climate. Thank you. The furnaces of the world are now burning about 2 billion tons of coal a year. When this is burned, uniting with oxygen, it adds about 7 billion tons of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere yearly. This tends to make the air a more effective blanket for the earth and to raise its temperature. The effect may be considerable in a few centuries. That's really... So this article is from over 100 years ago.
Oh,
it's
right.
From 1912.
Okay. So for some reason in my head, I'm like, yep, 2012.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That. Yeah.
I'm glad that I went over the fact that it was 100 years ago.
Because my reaction was, like, yeah, no.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Yeah. Oh, dear. That's crazy.
And it's sort of, I find that stuff really interesting, actually, that people, you know, you could argue that, oh, this idea of climate change is new and potentially even an argument as to why some people don't believe in it, because they're like, oh, it's just new research, people trying to prove something, whatever, looking into stuff that's not, you know, into detail that they don't need to be. But it's like, no, people knew about this shit ages ago. So many problems you could have solved. I wonder if there was like this same sort of idea, right? But something a little bit more practical that happened. Like in Pompeii, where some guy, you know, maybe 100 years before it happened, before Pompeii went on, he's like, pretty sure the volcano might erupt and then just destroy the cities, and people are like, oh, whatever, we don't believe it, you're just making things up.
But the, you know, but to make it equivalent, it would need to be all the scientists in Pompeii saying that volcano is going to erupt, and then people being like, don't be crazy, because that's what's happening with climate change. All of the scientists, or at least 99% of scientists, are saying climate change is a thing that we need to act on.
No, that's right. And I think, that's what I mean. It's like one person, 100 years before, was like, hey, this might happen. And then as it got closer, more people, more scientists were like, hey, yep, definitely this is going to happen. Nobody listened. Volcano erupted. Everybody died. Just saying, we're in a volcano. But I'll probably die before it's a problem, so I don't really care.
Well, see, that is, I think, the main problem with stuff like this is it's like generational. If someone said to you, you know, if you don't do
by the
anything,
way, I was joking. I
yeah, yeah. if someone said to you, you know, say you're 60, someone goes, geez, in 100 years, this could be a problem. You're probably like,
yeah.
I don't care.
Definitely.
I'm not going to change my ways.
I know, yeah. Definitely if I was like, you know, that old or a little bit older, I would definitely care a little bit less.
Yeah.
Every year that I age. I care now, for sure. I mean, that's
you're a young guy.
Because it's like, well, even though it still might not affect me, it might affect my children if I have children, probably their children. Yep. That's a problem. But, you know,
when you get
if it's my children's children,
I don't care about that.
What? I won't even, I'll be like, I don't know. you know, in the ground. I'll be in so many different places at that point after I've decomposed and whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think that's the thing.
Yeah, the sad thing is the only way it would get done is if they're like, no, this will happen next year.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, and then it would be too late anyway. It's kind of the problem, we're running into.
Yeah.
That it's like, no, all you people who don't care about it, that, you know, it's getting to the point where you need to act on it now for it to take effect in hundreds of years. But, yeah, nobody cares. Yeah. Anyway.
Al Gore cares.
Al Gore, he bloody cares. And, I don't know, other people.
No, just him.
Okay. He's leading the charge. Do you know who else who cares? Elon Musk cares.
He does, yeah.
Speaking of Elon Musk.
Oh.
Okay, see what I did there?
No.
Good segue.
Oh.
So, Canberra, I was delightfully surprised this week while perusing Reddit.
Yep.
I came across a comment, and it was from the subreddit, Elon Musk.
Nice. The one that we run.
We should be admins. I don't know why we're not.
We should be the subreddit Elon Musk and the subreddit Monopoly.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be admins.
Those are out. I was super surprised. I was like, how have I never heard of this subreddit Elon Musk? I talk about him all the bloody time. Anyway, so I'm going to give you a quick snippet.
Okay.
Of an Elon Musk thing. So it was actually some Twitter correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
The first Twitter thing. Oh, this is by Your Majesty All. The first response was from Tesla saying, send us your questions for Elon to answer at our shareholders meeting tomorrow. Then Roland Scarhill says, boxes or briefs?
Right.
Elon Musk replies, wearing anything at all is just a conspiracy by the capitalist running dogs of big underwear. I like that guy.
I have to go burn all my underwear. If Elon Musk doesn't wear them.
Elon Musk could tell me to do bloody anything, okay? If he said to eat my food because there's children starving in Africa, I'd be like, you know what?
Because you know that he could get it there.
Exactly. He could get it there. And he'd probably
he could get it there and he'd do it with clean energy.
Exactly. It'd be electric energy. And he'd probably make it bigger on the way there. I don't know how he'd do it, but he's working on that technology.
Yeah, he'd go to a starving kid in Africa. He'd go, here's Nelson's unfinished Kiev.
Yeah.
Also, I funded your town for food for the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what would happen.
Yeah.
So, get rid of underwear. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I thought that was hilarious. Just makes me like Elon Musk a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that thing that we spoke about. Exactly.
But isn't he a fun guy answering questions on Twitter?
But, I mean, there's underpaid people in Africa as well. So, he's trying to save them too. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. All right. Anyway, Gambo, I think we should move on to Today I Learned.
All right.
So now it's time for Today I Learned.
Today I Learned. Okay, this Today I Learned is by Spank Mac. Today I learned that 140 years after an ancient stolen ring was found on a rural farm, a tablet was found at another site. In brackets, I'm assuming this is what the tablet said. Among those who bear the name of Senecaeus, to none grant health until he bring back the ring to the temple of Nodens. One of the scholars who translated it is Oxford Professor J.R.R. Tolkien.
Interesting.
Basically,
he stole Lord of the Rings.
He stole Lord of the Rings. He didn't even... That makes me lose so much respect. It's like,
forget the fact he invented several languages for his book.
What? He didn't even come up with the idea. I was like, wow, there's a ring that's powerful and somebody needs to destroy it. That's the original, incredibly original idea.
Yeah, because like
elves and stuff already existed.
Yep, and obviously there was like the parallels to World War II because he went through that, and you're like, I can see the parallels, a guy rising to power and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But the idea of it all being through a ring—that's interesting and original. Or crazy. Was it?
Or was it? Busted, J.R.R. Tolkien.
You thought you'd get away with it. I mean, by the fact you're dead, you kind of did.
Yeah.
But now...
And all the money you made. All right. Well, Gambit, maybe then he's onto something. And we just need to...
Steal the right idea.
Mm-hmm. Do you know of any interesting artifacts?
Yeah, several, Nelson. Yeah, I've got a couple here.
Okay, go through one of them.
This laptop.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's from the...
Company Apple.
Yeah, it's from the Tribe Apple.
Okay.
From circa... I want to say it's AD 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Mm. Pretty cool idea.
So make a movie of it, Nelson.
All right.
I've given you an artifact.
Done. Well, what if we just... The only other artifact I can think of is like the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
What if we just misconstrue that story, write a book about it?
Yeah, they did that. It's called The Da Vinci Code.
Oh. Well, then.
It's literally that very concept, Nelson.
It's not about the...
Yeah, the Holy Grail, it is.
What, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it about the bloodline?
That is the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail
is her body. Is Mary Magdalene's? This is what the book suggests.
Right.
Is that the Holy Grail is actually Mary Magdalene's body, which has the bloodline of Jesus Christ because they had kids,
right.
And it's now just been misconstrued in history as a cup a cup of blood, but it's actually the blood of the family.
Okay. Well, see, they went off the cup story. I'm saying we stick with the cup.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. It's all about the cup.
That's where they went wrong.
Yeah.
Let's stick with the cup.
Maybe. Okay. This is the story that we're going to tell.
Yep.
Somebody found the Holy Grail already. The cup. Okay.
Yep.
Not a dead woman's body. It's just weird. And they pour water into this cup.
Yep.
And it tastes like Coca-Cola.
And then we can have product placement. That's how we get our funding.
Exactly. Yeah. Or
because then there'd be enough people to watch it and be like, man, Coke is divine.
Exactly. That's right. This and we'll is be a like, yes, plan.
For all you know, it is.
Yeah.
It's as divine as anything else, I guess.
I mean, it is the best tasting drink, right?
Yeah.
Name another drink. Tastes better. Do it.
You can't.
It's exactly my point.
I wish it wasn't so bad for me. I drink it all the time.
Anyway.
But in our movie, we can suggest it is good for you.
Because
I can live out a fantasy.
Yeah. Good.
Wow, I guess this Coke gave me everlasting life.
Yeah.
As the Holy Grail is famous to.
I like then the idea that like kind of the rival in some way is just some people that found inferior cups, artifacts with that Pepsi. Just make Pepsi.
Oh, and they make Ally Ice. There's a throwback for you.
This is so stupid.
Okay. There's one cup that makes Dr. Pepper, and everyone's like, I don't know how I feel about this one.
Yeah.
Some people really like it, some people don't.
That's right. Do you think, though?
Yes.
After learning this?
Yes. I think that.
That perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Crap. I've got mental blank.
That J.R.R. Tolkien is a big scam artist?
No.
I do think that.
Harry Potter lady. What's her name?
Oh, yeah.
I've got mental blank. It's killing me.
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. That's it. Maybe.
She stole a different tablet.
Or...
Said, boy under the stairs.
Yeah.
Magic school.
That's what I'm thinking.
This'll do.
Maybe she did go to a magic school.
Right.
Maybe magic is real, Cambe.
Everyone's like, this is Grant. I keep telling you, this happened to me. Yeah. Why wouldn't anyone listen? I killed Voldemort. It's like, yeah, what an imagination you've got on you.
Yeah, sir. Wow, creative.
Here's billions of dollars. And she's like, oh, fine, I'll take it. Take your billions.
I guess this will work.
Shouldn't have changed it to Harry in the book. Yeah. It should have been JK the whole time.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying. If it comes out one day that all that shit was real, I called it here first.
But this also doesn't suggest that all of Lord of the Rings was real. Just the idea of
I think that's what he implied. That was only an excerpt of the tablet.
Oh, right. So the rest talked about Saruman.
Told the story. Yeah.
Like beat for beat the story.
Yeah, exactly. It was really strange. Anyway. Gonna move on, Camper.
No.
Another Today I Learned is by Kairari. Why'd you laugh, Kembe?
Well, no, you just pronounced it well.
Yep. I did.
Yeah.
Today I Learned.
Who's it from?
I just said it was from. Were you not listening?
No.
It's by Kairari. Today I Learned that during the Holocaust, Polish doctors Eugene Lazowski and Stanisław Maciejewicz saved 8,000 Jews by creating a fake typhus epidemic. The Germans quarantined the area instead of risking outbreaks by sending them to concentration camps. That's a really interesting story. I mean, wait. I bumbled the name, which just threw you off completely.
Yeah, wait, no, so they saved these people.
Yeah.
By
staging.
Yep, a fake outbreak.
Fake typhus epidemic.
Yep.
So then the Germans quarantined the area.
Yep.
Rather than putting them into concentration camps.
Oh, sorry, I misheard you.
Oh.
I thought you said, so they sent them to concentration camps.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, that's clever.
Yeah. That's really, I feel like we've really struggled with this.
It's been a mess from start to finish. The name threw me off. First, I misheard you.
First, let's start with the name, okay? I know it's not the crux of this, but the last name is Maciulewicz. Maciulewicz. That's a weird name, okay?
It's not that weird.
If
you're Jewish.
It's a hard name to pronounce. Anyway.
It's no weirder than Berkowitz, who make furniture.
I guess. I don't know. Let's just run through Jewish names and see if, see if they're weird.
Are they weirder or not weirder? Here's all the Jewish names. Gold, not weirder.
We could start our own Rotten Tomatoes about Jewish names. It either is weird or isn't weird. Anyway, my point was, that was really interesting.
Yes, no, it's a lot more interesting now that I understand.
Yeah.
They staged the fake typhoid, you said?
Typhoid, yeah. Typhus.
Typhus, oh, sorry. Typhus epidemic.
Yep.
So they wouldn't be sent to concentration camps. They'd just be quarantined there. Yeah. Did they have to... I know you don't know this.
I do.
But did they have to keep that up for the rest of the war? Or did they then escape from the quarantine?
I imagine they kept that up for a while.
Important to
for
note.
For a while.
The words I imagine at the start of Nelson's sentence. I would assume...
Yeah, okay, I've got no idea. But I would think that you wouldn't credit these people that much if they just they lasted like a month.
That's what makes me think that they either escaped or it was towards the end of the war maybe and they just outlasted the war.
Yes. Quite possibly. Hmm. It doesn't even say where it was. Well, I mean it probably does. But I didn't click on it. Didn't click on the link.
Didn't have time.
Look into this further. But it makes me think of all these like really interesting, so many interesting stories about, you know, times in war when stuff like this happens. Yeah. Not even, another one that I remember, and I think got made into a movie or a book, something. got made into something. There was a guy, and they were lining up people to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Germans were lining up Jewish people to shoot and putting them in huge, like, ditches.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy, as he was getting shot, tripped on a rock, fell down. And they just assumed that he got shot. It was, like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting, like, covered in bodies above him and stuff. Like, super horrific stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ended up escaping. And that's, like, there's all these, I think, really amazing stories that come out of war and, like, sort of horrific things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But also some of these, you know, heroes that do stuff that at the end of the war, it's like it gets overlooked by the individuals that did something.
Yeah, because the scope was so big that obviously these individual stories kind of get lost in the massive scope.
Yeah, that's right.
And it takes years and years and years for them to ever get recognized.
Yeah, that's right. But obviously, thankfully to people like this Redditor, we get to hear the story.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, people like Brad Pitt and stuff that tell us about how Hitler was murdered in a theater.
In a theater, yeah. Got his face shut off.
From Inglourious Basterds. Like, it's all that stuff that I'm really glad could come out and enlighten us as to what really happened.
So what you're really saying is the people that, you know, the true heroes of the war is this guy on Reddit and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Is that rude to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, incredibly insensitive.
I apologize.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Can't bet. I have another one here. I don't know. This was the third today I learned, but whatever. This is by Engineer Minded. Today I learned a developer was denied a permit to put a sex club next to a Christian school, so they decided to make it a swingers church because of a loophole in the law. How dumb is that? That is so stupid.
Swingers church.
But I love it because, yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
I love a loophole as much as the next one.
Yeah.
Anything that you can get around some weird little, yeah.
Exactly.
So.
Especially if it's a law. Makes it way more juicy.
Yeah.
You know?
So, essentially, surely if there's a swingers church,
yeah,
there is still stuff that you can't legally do that you still want. Or is it exactly the same as what he wanted to create, just a different name?
I'm assuming it's just another name. No, because,
important there,
remember,
again, those two words.
Remember, no, the reason why I say this, right, I assume based on educated guess.
Yeah.
Is because I remember that to start a religion, you don't need that many people.
Oh, right? Okay, yeah.
It's
only
like 100 people or something stupidly small. So imagine they were just like, well, there's at least 100 swingers, 1,000 swingers. So we'll just make a church for that. And then there's no confines of what a church is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just for that religion.
Yep.
So I think then, you know, it would have been easy.
Yeah, that's true.
We just have a bunch of sex in here. It's our religion.
If people want to pay for the sex, I mean,
yeah,
donations to the church.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what they did as well.
No tax on that.
Oh, yeah.
This is genius.
This is genius. Isn't there like some...
And imagine if you wanted to go to like a brothel.
Yeah.
But you could come home to the wife and be like, I've just been at church.
Been at church. Praying real hard.
Kept saying, oh God, oh God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like if it was set up like a church and you just hear, oh God, oh God. You're like, oh geez, they're really praying tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They're always praying so loud. it reminded me of another loophole that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Where a guy was booked for like a parking ticket.
Yeah.
And because the law hadn't been changed,
uh-huh,
for like a very long time, centuries,
yeah,
100 years, something, I don't know. His lawyer found in the clause that you could dispute it by challenging the ticket inspector to a duel to the death. And he was like, I want to do that, please. And then they were like, oh, well, no, then there's this court case. But it's such a weird kind of, because it's like, you've put this in place. Uh-huh. This is a little, this, yeah. You have to abide by this. So I think that's great. I wish, in fact, I wish they brought a lot of more of that back. It would be awesome if you could get out of certain fines by challenging somebody who gave the fine to you,
yep,
to a duel. Wouldn't that be really cool? I didn't even care if it was to the death. I just like, just I really don't want, because it's either like, okay, you challenge me or you revoke the thing. So either ticket inspectors get like way more buff.
Yeah.
People are really scared of ticket inspectors.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people just get away with less fines. You know?
Yeah, I think the duel to get out of fine system is a solid idea, Nelson.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there.
I reckon we bring it back.
Yep. We'll bring it back.
Yeah.
We'll start saying to cops, no, I wasn't speeding, and he's saying I am, so I challenge you to a duel to the death.
Yeah. And remember, if anybody else also wants to join in this, to officially start a duel, you have to slap the cop with a glove.
Yeah.
Or back of the hand.
And say, you insult my honor, sir.
Yep. So, let us know how that goes. Did you get out of the fight?
You guys try it. Let us know how it goes. Then we'll give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Report back to us. All right. Anyway, Cambo, let's move on to Shepard.
Okay.
Shower thoughts. This shower thought is by Zasuela. It's always easy to fall asleep on a couch unless you're actually trying to fall asleep on a couch.
Yes.
I read this and I was like, I thought that was just me.
No.
This is the problem that I've been having. I sort of had this last night, right? Where I was on the couch watching some TV and I'm like falling asleep. Mm-hmm. I close my eyes and wake up a little bit. I'm like, falling asleep. And I'm like, okay, I better go to bed. And so I'll get up and then lie in bed and I cannot get to sleep for the life of me. I was like, I was just doing this. I don't know. And so then there'll be times where I was like, you know, go through the same sort of thing. Oh, I'm falling asleep on the couch. I'm like, well, in the past I've gotten up and tried to go out of bed and it hasn't worked. So I'm going to give in and fall asleep now. But then there'll be things like I'm watching TV and if a loud part happens on the TV, then I'm going to wake up. It's like, okay, I'll turn the TV off, and then just try to go to sleep. And you can't. It's impossible. It's like a oxymoron. It's a weird. There's something that happens in the time fabric of space that does not allow you to sleep on a couch when you want to. That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever woken up on a couch and felt refreshed?
No.
I wake up on a couch and my neck is like sideways, my foot's on the floor, and I'm like, ah! Oh, what's that?
I know. It's so true as well, isn't it? It's like the worst type of sleep you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah. My neck always hurts when I wake up.
And when you are tired and you do fall asleep on a couch, your logic is like, man, I'm so tired. This will just be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm so tired that it won't matter. And then the moment you wake up, it's like your body kicks you in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what did you do?
Exactly, yeah. Ah, man. Couches. All right, I have another one. It's by Nick357. If I were a vampire, I would work retail so I know who deserves to die. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
You get to know a lot about a person. Even just retail, but customer service of any kind.
Yeah, you get to really know someone when something doesn't work out for them.
Yeah.
And their reaction.
Exactly.
To you in the situation.
It's, you get to know people that just have unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. People that just don't know how life normally works, I think.
And I think you can break it down into kind of two main categories. Say you work at McDonald's, which you used to work at McDonald's.
Yep.
Yeah. Two kinds of people come up to the counter.
Yep.
And they want, I want a soft serve.
Yep.
And you go, machine's ours.
Yeah.
People that go, well, what I'll get is this.
Yeah.
And people that go, what?
Yeah, I know. so they're so like angry and it oh my god kills me. I had another one actually, in McDonald's, and luckily I wasn't the person who saved me because I definitely would have like told this person to F off. They went through the McDonald's drive thru. We were transitioning from breakfast to lunch. Mm-hmm. So, and well, we'd stopped breakfast. It was like, you know, 2 past 10 or whatever. And the person comes to the drive thru, wants some breakfast. We're like, nope, sorry, don't have breakfast. You've just gone to lunch. They come to the like end window and start yelling at the manager saying, what the hell? This is, I've got 10 o'clock on my time. That means you have to still serve me. Or, you know, like 9:59 or whatever. You have to serve me. Like, just got so angry. And the, for those of you who don't know, I think the process has changed, but the way it was, like, it was actually kind of hard to accommodate for breakfast menu and the lunch menu. And that's literally why they were separated, because, you know, you had to clean certain things and, you know, put the
change everything
where you'd store the eggs, use it now when you store all the meat and stuff like that. So my manager, I would have just told the guy, I would have been like, oh, well, your clock's wrong. This is what the time is and you can F off. I would have done that.
But, yeah. It's the time where you'd go, oh, there's this weird thing. McDonald's go by their clocks.
Yeah.
Not by your clock.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the weirdest thing. I don't know why.
Yeah. So, and then I remember we had to, I think the manager did it himself, like just for this one person who wanted a bacon and egg McMuffin, like had to, you know, get everything again and end up making, going through the process. So annoying. Anyway.
So if you were a vampire, annoying,
it's good.
Would you implement?
I know this guy says if he was a vampire, if you're a vampire, terrible idea to work in retail. No retail stores are open at night. Or very few.
Yeah.
What kind of event? Why didn't he just say, if I was a mass murderer, I would... Why so specifically a vampire? And then choose the worst time of the day to meet people. Like, I don't know. It's just... Anyway. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I forgot. I don't
know. Okay. It's good. Actually, I have another annoying customer.
Also, if you're a vampire, employment isn't the biggest concern you have right now.
I guess so. Well, how do you know?
Well, because you're cursed to be a vampire for the rest of your life.
I know.
You probably don't need to work.
Why wouldn't you need to?
When you murder people, just take their money.
Well, no, because you don't want to like get caught either. Get locked up in jail.
If someone catches you, murder them.
You can't... What? Vampires aren't that strong, mate. Okay? If you get the SWAT team on you, because eventually that will happen. Uh-huh. You keep murdering cops, eventually.
Do they have silver bullets?
Isn't that for werewolves? That's for werewolves.
But you can't just shoot a vampire.
Yeah, you can like, they get injured, okay? They won't die, obviously. You need a wooden stake through the heart.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think you'd start realizing, if bodies just started turning up, right? If I'm a cop, and I'm like, oh my God, lots of bodies, holes in the necks, no blood in the body. I think instantly vampire. Yeah. Who's not thinking vampire, okay? You're an idiot if you don't think vampire. First point of contact, I'm going to go, well, one thing I know, electricity, get tasers. You normally taser them. They're down.
You normally taser them. This is not a common thing. You don't normally anything.
This is definitely a thing, okay? Vampires still suffer like pain, okay? So taser them, incapacitated.
Yeah, okay.
Then grab a wooden stake.
Yep.
Because again, I know it's a vampire. Stab it in the heart, done.
But also, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
If you, all these bodies turn up, no blood, bite marks, and you're like vampire, and you get a wooden stake.
Yeah.
Even if they just turn up to be a lunatic that is just draining people's blood and biting their necks and they're not a vampire, a stake through the heart will still do the job.
Okay.
It's twofold.
Changing plan. Well, because you're not allowed to murder real people. You're only allowed to murder vampires. Obviously.
Racist.
Obviously.
I think vampires are able to, Nelson.
Well, show me in the law books where you killing a vampire is against the law. Yeah, you can't.
That's true. Loophole.
So, next step, right? Incapacitate them with electricity.
Yep.
Put their hand out the window. Does it burn because of the sun? Yes. Stake through the heart.
Okay, right.
Okay, just saying. That's how I prove it.
Just holy water? Do they burn
with garlic and a crucifix, something. All those things.
All of them.
That's what I would have. I would have a kit of things. Vampire detection kit. And then the wooden stake for the final job. Anyway. Don't know what I was going to say after that. Customers are idiots. Oh, no. Actually, I do remember something. Yeah. So, my sister owns a property management business. And they had a tenant that was getting like harassed by the neighbor. And basically, I don't know what this tenant thought, but their concept of what a property manager does was just totally misconstrued. And they got really angry about their loud neighbors and stuff. And it's kind of like, my sister's like, well, that's not like, do you think that we have authority of law or something? Like, what? And then it got to the point where, like, I don't know, maybe some words were exchanged and the neighbor came over and, like, I don't know, threatened him or something, like, really bad.
Yeah.
And then again, he calls my sister. It's like, what do you call the police? This is not harassment. That's definitely a bad thing. Like, I don't, threatening your life. Like, what do you think a property manager is going to do? And he said, like, one of his emails, like, oh, I pay good money for this place, so, you know, I expect some good service. Like, what? You just don't understand. What is wrong with you, you freaking moron? Anyway.
It's things outside of the property that are causing you concern.
Exactly. Yeah, like, I don't know. If a pipe busts, give us a call. That's basically where our jurisdiction ends. Like, anyway. Okay. I have another shower thought.
Okay.
This is by Freeman Forever. And you know, occasionally the shower thoughts, I'm like, that's a good idea and we should implement that. This is one of those.
Okay.
Everyone should occasionally have to get in a simulator where all the other drivers drive like them. It's a really cool idea. Because
It only works for a certain kind of person, though.
Well, I think that's the point. The point is that everybody thinks they're a great driver.
Yeah, yeah.
All the shitty drivers think they're a great driver.
Right. But then, like, so then you would get great drivers going and go, yeah, I am a great driver. I thought I was.
Yeah, and that'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, in fact,
you should get, like, a reward for doing that. Like, you go into the simulation and no crashes occur. It's like, wow, you've done a fantastic job. You're a great driver. But you get in there and there's like 7-car pileups all the time. It's like, wow, you suck at driving. License revoked. That's what it should be. License revoked. Anyway, it's a good idea.
Yes.
We should implement.
Well, you've got time on your hands, Nelson. You should start implementing
it. Just make that. I don't know. I mean, the first part of it's going to be hard. Like getting, downloading somebody's driving capacity of their brain.
That's, do you know, the other hard bit? Getting everyone in the world to do it.
Well, it's not everybody in the world.
Everyone with a license.
All right. Start from small. Like, I do it in like Melbourne first, and then I'll expand overseas once everybody realizes how great it is.
Right.
Okay. That's how things happen. Can't be. God, can't do everything straight away. So unrealistic. okay, I have another one by Shitty Morphe. There are two types of people in this world. Those who will send back an order if it's incorrect, and those who will suffer in silence and stick with whatever they're given.
Which are you?
I am definitely stick with whatever I'm given.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But I would argue that I don't suffer.
I just adapt.
Especially when it comes to food. Like, I am more likely to call somebody over and complain about food if it's somebody else I'm sitting with and they're like, oh man, this isn't what I ordered, and they feel a little bit awkward about, oh, I didn't really want this, didn't really order this or whatever, or have some issue. I'm more likely to be like, hey, waiter, yeah, wrong order. But if it's mine, I'm like, I don't care. I will eat anything.
Yeah.
So
you're Italian.
I'm Italian. It's just what I... they probably bring it over and I'll be like, oh, is that what I ordered? I thought I ordered something else. What? I don't know. I'll eat it.
I have such a bad memory that I can't be confident that I did order what I think I ordered. Yeah. So I'll get something like, oh, maybe I did order that.
Yeah.
That was several minutes ago. Yeah. Oh, geez.
That's weird because I really hate mushrooms, yeah. But I guess I'll eat this mushroom soup. Yeah. Wait, yeah. How about if it was that bad? Because you ate mushrooms. And what if you did get a mushroom soup?
Yeah, if it was something that I hated, I would probably send it back. Yeah,
you'd have
but
to go.
If it's, you know, if I ordered, you know, spaghetti bolognese, but they gave me a steak with chips.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, it's just...
Yeah. So you still have to be satisfied with whatever they give you.
Yeah.
I think that's the point, maybe.
Suffering, yeah.
When you well, have
it,
to...
It depends. If it's something that just had mushroom on it, like, bro, just take the mushroom off.
Take it off.
But if it's
yeah.
something that is fundamentally...
It's like mushroom sauce on your steak. Yeah. You'd be like, scrape
yeah.
that off.
Yeah. But if it's something that's fundamentally something that I hate. Yeah.
Just a huge mushroom.
Yeah. Just a big mushroom.
Yeah. Why would anybody order this? This is
with a side of puree mushroom.
Yeah. Mashed mushroom. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I don't know what I was going to say.
Also, if anyone ever brings you the wrong drink, that's never an issue.
Yeah. Like, oh, does anybody?
Oh, this isn't diet.
Actually, do you remember what I did once that I feel a bit guilty about? Mm-hmm. But I was very drunk, so I feel like it's okay.
it's not a justification, but okay.
I was pretty drunk, and I went to like a souvlaki place,
mm-hmm.
and I got a drink as well. Took it from sleep. I was like, oh man. I could really go creamy soda. Love creamy soda.
Uh-huh.
Took a swig. Sarsaparilla.
Oh, no.
What kind of a drink is sarsaparilla?
Yeah, it's the worst.
Again, if I had have gone to a restaurant and they brought out sarsaparilla,
mm-hmm.
I would have been like, oh, I'll just drink it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't drunk. But remember, I was drunk. So then I was like, ugh, this isn't good. So I just put the top back on, put it back in the fridge, grabbed out the creamy soda that was right next to it,
right.
And had that one. And it was fine. You might... I think they were okay with, because I only took like a tiny sip. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much full value for the next person that gets that anyway.
Well, I wonder about the next person that gets it. Because obviously when you open a bottle, you get the of the seal breaking.
Yeah.
How suspicious you would be if that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You're like,
But two things.
Something off about this bottle.
Two things.
Yeah.
One, bottle's likely to expire before anybody buys sarsaparilla. So it's probably going to be an accidental, like I did anyway.
You probably brought one someone else had opened.
And if somebody really did want a sarsaparilla, then they deserve that. They deserve what they get. Don't keep that drink alive. If you order sarsaparilla, just stop, please. I know, man, I could really crave a sarsaparilla, but could you just settle with a Coke? Like, just get a Coke. And just... Then none of us have to go through this painful, oh, I accidentally got sarsaparilla, okay? Just stop that drink completely.
I remember back when I was in high school, there was a brand of sarsaparilla that was being sold at the supermarket across the road.
Right.
But they tried to rebrand themselves and be trendier. So they stopped being called sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
It's called SARS.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the problem is this happened just before the SARS outbreak. Anyway, my point is I don't see SARS around much anymore.
It kind of sums up the drink, though, doesn't it? Really. Sarsaparilla.
Well, drink it.
It's like SARS. All right. Anyway, sarsaparilla sucks. I'd have one more shout out.
All right.
I really like this one. This is by GTE Exec. Oh, wait. GT Exec. That's what it's.
GT Exec.
Yep. The stingray that killed Steve Irwin is probably dead now and got a hug from Steve himself in Animal Heaven because Steve's a good guy like that.
Yeah.
I just love that idea.
Yeah.
Steve Irwin's a good guy. He's hugging that stingray. Oh. Makes me feel better about his death and the stingray. You know, I hated that stingray. Man, I love it. I love Steve Irwin. He was a great guy. But you know what? He forgave him. Presumably.
You say you hate the stingray. But in many ways, the stingray did nothing wrong.
Oh, no, it didn't. Of course not. It's like when anybody gets eaten by a shark or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I find amazing? Is some of those like shark stories. In fact, I saw one just recently where it was like a guy in a cage and the shark gets in the shark cage.
Yep.
And then like, attacks him. He gets out fine, I think, in the end. And it's kind of like, well, you're just poking the bear, aren't you?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Like, you are dangling meat in a cage. You are definitely in the wrong here. Okay. Yeah. So even if you had died, 100% your fault.
Yes, okay? I agree.
You'd give that shark a hug when you get to
also, heaven. Steve Irwin, maybe a great guy, sick of his kids.
Oh, yeah.
It was popping up on TV in there.
I don't know. I don't watch enough TV to ever. I can't remember the last time I saw Bindi Irwin.
Sorry, son.
I don't think I've ever seen his son on TV because I have no idea who that is, whatever. But definitely the last time I saw Bindi Irwin, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're annoying.
Yeah.
So, but hey, good luck to them.
Yeah, hey. Yeah.
Good, it's fine. Good. I wish maybe my dad listeners was Steve. Of the show.
Maybe. In which case, write in.
Yeah. Tell us what do you think of the stingray that killed your dad? Ugh,
you're on pretty fire harsh. Tonight.
Anyway, let's move on, Gambit.
Okay, yes, let's.
Very quickly to Ask Reddit. Ask Reddit. This is by Iriseka. If you were forced to wear a warning label, what would it say?
Probably warning, do not talk about movies unless... You really want to talk about movies.
I'm so glad you said that. It was funny because I was thinking about it in the car over the way here. Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking about what I would sort of say and be like, oh, I don't really know something very specific about me. But I was like, Gambo, definitely. It'd be, don't, just be warned. Mm-hmm. If you start talking about movies, you'll never stop.
Yeah.
That's it.
He'll be off.
You're done. Very much like the start of our episode today.
Yep.
Started on The Mummy.
Great example. You didn't care.
It was about... exactly. It's because I have been warned before through bad experiences. unfortunately for the listeners, they didn't get that warning.
Yeah.
Any new listeners, anyway.
Oh, do we not put that in at the top of the show?
No. Shit. Warning. May contain excessive movie talk. I don't really know. I do think there's a possibility that, I think I need a warning maybe for people that I just meet, met for the first time, that it's like, warning, even if you have recently introduced yourself to Nelson, chances are he's forgotten your name already and you should repeat it a couple of times during the conversation. Yeah, that'd be great.
That's a good one.
Because, it's not so much than anything, it would help me. It's not much of a warning.
Yeah, I don't know if that's much of a warning.
Yeah.
It would be like warning, Nelson does forget names.
Yeah. How about, probably still not as much of a warning, but something like, there is a chance while talking to Nelson, he would drift off during a conversation because he thought about something that you said and it just took him off into a tangent. And then he'll be quickly brought back to reality when you ask a question and he'll have to quickly think of an answer.
Interesting. I have thought of something genius.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to have a warning label and you kind of, I guess, design what your warning label is going to say to warn people about whatever it is, but you have to have one.
Okay.
But you do get to design what it says.
Okay. Yep.
Think of the marketing opportunity here, Nelson.
Okay.
Warning. Reddit on Reddit out every Monday.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
Because then so people
just
people
a podcast
like,
plug.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think though, like maybe this is something that you have to get done on your 18th birthday though? And it's like then that from that point onwards, you've always have that warning. Because then that's maybe too early. Warning.
That's true.
Potential superstar.
Warning. Ask me about what I'm working on. Not a warning.
I don't think it's a warning. No. What if people are scared of potential superstars? Anyway. That was pretty funny. Okay. I have another one here. This is by Bagels to Go. People who send thank you cards, why you gotta make me look so bad? Does seem very much like a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
But I have to agree with this. Who's sending thank you cards? Okay? I think...
people that don't get email.
That's true. I mean, I guess they're trying to say there's more sentiment with the card.
It's but more inconvenient to me. If I got a thank you card, that's like punishing me.
Yeah.
Because I have to open it, and then I'm like, why have I got this dumb card? And then you feel bad.
When am I going to throw this out?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
No one should send me cards at all.
Yeah.
Because I throw them out immediately.
I know. It's so... do you know what I hate most of all? This absolutely kills me. And if you have somebody that's sent me a card before and done this, I apologize.
Yeah.
But when somebody buys a card and just says, to Nelson, has the
happy printed, birthday or whatever, yep.
printed sentiment inside, and then at the end, from whoever. That is a terrible card purchase, okay? I think it's fine to have a sentiment in a card. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little joke. Maybe that's a funny thing. But at least write like two sentences worth of, you know, your thoughts and feelings about my birthday or whatever it is, rather than just...
or if you don't have any thoughts or feelings, don't send a card.
Don't get a card. You don't need... it's fine. You're like, oh, well, I need something to put the, I don't know, $20 in.
And
if you're giving me money for my birthday or something, just give me the 20. It's just fine.
Just wire it.
And I'll just be like, hey, thanks. This is great.
Here's the thing. And this is for people that know me. Mm-hmm. I've never noticed if someone's missed sending me a card.
Yeah.
So you don't have to.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think you would notice,
but my cousin didn't send me. Never have I ever thought that.
Do you think you'd notice, though, if you... completely nobody got your card?
No,
because then you'd be like, oh, I didn't get a card.
I probably would notice being like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't have to have any dumb cards.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's so sweet for someone to send a card, but it's, yeah. I don't know, it's just see, takes up space.
Yeah, see, I was brought up as a card lover,
mm-hmm.
well, forced
yeah.
to,
yeah,
because my dad worked for a greeting card company. Yeah. So, I mean, one thing was good is that we just always had greeting cards. And we never had to shop for a greeting card, which is great. Because they're, like, expensive. If you spend $10 on a card, that's too much. And they're normally more than that these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so my mom was like, oh, you always have to have a card for everything. And I just think it's such a stupid concept. And it's been hard to battle with.
It's only in this day and age are they a bit redundant.
Yeah.
You know, when mail was the main form of communication,
yeah.
then a card was a nice way
then
to...
sure, yeah.
Or if someone is a little older and you know that you probably can't text them or send an email. Yeah, sure, a card.
But then the eyesight's probably bad. That's probably
true.
Can't read.
That's
can't.
True.
Give them a call. Pick up a phone, people.
Yeah.
Pick up a phone.
Call the landline.
Yeah, exactly. I do have to say, like, I'm not really... a fan of or attuned to presents in general and like birthday mm-hmm. wishes mm-hmm. and stuff, including presents.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example of this where it backfired on me and I felt really bad. So I don't ever expect a present for my birthday at all. My family don't do birthday presents, but we decided recently to like give up on it because normally if you get something, it's like, something sort of crap that you don't really need. You know, it's just somebody's like, oh, Nelson will like this like $20 statue Batman. Like, yeah, okay, it's probably cool, but like, I don't really want that, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's 90% of presents that people get. And my family, before we decided to give up on presents basically completely, is we did like, okay, we'll just get you a more, like one more expensive present, like $100 present or something. But even then, you're still not really getting, and I buy all the stuff for myself that I want.
I'm like that as well. And I don't want it to sound like I'm ungrateful. I'm very grateful if anyone does it.
Exactly.
But if I want something, I'll just buy it for myself.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly what I want. And I feel weird that people have to buy me anything.
Yeah.
Spend your money on you.
Yeah. And see, so this is my problem, right?
Really, I quite like giving gifts.
Yeah. Maybe, like, yeah. Maybe that's the thing. People just like gifts. Yeah. I don't know.
I only think it's for the person giving the gift more than it's for...
Yeah. See, this is my problem that I had recently, is because I just kind of assume that people have that same mentality with me. It's like, you don't really need gifts.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, gift cap, just... And so I got invited to a 30th. It was a 60th. I spoke about it, actually,
yep.
when we went. And
joint 30th.
Joint 30th, yeah. And so I learned afterwards that this scenario happened. I came, it was like a barbecue thing, picnic, lunch sort of thing. And it said, oh, you know, if you want to bring a salad or something, you can do that and, you know, contribute to the lunch. And I was like, well, look, I know the people are going. I know there's going to be plenty of salad and stuff. I'm just going to buy a box of chocolates, box of favorites I bought.
Yep.
Big box. I was like, that sort of contributes something, little something for people to have afterwards.
Yep.
So I get there, put the box of favorites on, say hello to the birthday people, blah, blah, blah. Time goes on and then leave the party. That's it. I didn't get them present at all. Then later on, I hear that there was a conversation that happened that day and somebody went to grab a chocolate from the favorites that I'd given it, which was exactly the point.
Yep.
And the birthday guy says, hey, what are you doing? That's a birthday present for me and the other person whose birthday it was. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And then he's like, ah, that's okay. Have one anyway. Glad he said that. So now... these people think that for their 30th, their joint 30th birthday, I got them a box of favorites.
To share.
I would much prefer that they know I had no intention of giving them a gift at all than them thinking that I bought just a box of favorites for both of them to share. This is a terrible thing. That, I don't know. I feel really... I'm like, do I tell them now? Mm. But then they're like, oh, so you... didn't get us anything. I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe I should go over there with two boxes of favorites and say, look, I didn't get you a present at the time, but here's two boxes. Have one each. I don't know. But anyway, now I'm like nervous about, because I guess, yeah, 30th is more important. Maybe people get presents for that. But I don't, when I turn 30, friends, and anybody listening, don't give me, I don't care. I don't want a present. I'm okay. Anyway, just thought I'd tell you about that story.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Cambe, it's the end of Ask Reddit, but we still have question 6 of 36 of getting you, the listener, to love us through scientific fact. So our sixth question is...
And just in case we've got new listeners, apparently there's 36 questions. And if you were to ask this with someone by the end of the survey, it would make you fall in love with them.
Yeah. So be prepared to fall in love with us.
Also, go back to the last
five. If they're new listeners, though, yeah, maybe it might be the full 36. If they only get 31 questions.
They hate 30 questions.
Anyway, if you... we might have spoken about this before. Anyway, if you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want?
Body.
Okay.
Well, because you get smarter as you get older. You learn more.
That is very interesting. I actually thought that you were going to go the same way that I was, and mine would be mind.
Go on.
Because you definitely, you know, like dementia and things like that affect older people. When I think of somebody in their 90s.
Wait, so was it 90 or 80?
If you're able to live to the age of 90.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and retain, yeah, 90's starting to get up there, isn't
see,
it?
Yeah, my point is like, I think, and obviously, I'm sort of assuming that you would still be able to learn things and retain information from...
But think about this, is you wouldn't be able to do anything with a 90-year-old body. Can you fly?
Yeah, but that's okay. I think that would be fine. To me, that wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't care to do much, like, you know, venturing and things like that.
I'm forgetful now.
I know. Imagine what you're like when you're 90.
You'll Can it forget, be much worse?
You'll forget to get on the plane to go to wherever you want because you've got the body to do so.
I'll be skiing, but then halfway down, I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I?
Well, maybe then we'll just live together.
Yeah, that's...
But then I still can't do the things that you can.
But you can think about
but
them.
But I can think about them for you.
I'll be like, Nelson, I'm off to go skating. Oh,
you can like cook
what
and
should
stuff.
I consider?
You can cook, but I'll have to tell you what to put in.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Good plan. Yeah,
you're the mind, I'm the body.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
And then we could do this weird thing where it's like we'd go on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And would put photos of you.
Yeah,
but I would be the one into the conversations.
I'd be like,
it'd be really weird.
You'd be using emojis that I don't understand.
Who understands emojis these days?
Why
anyway,
do you keep sending so many eggplants?
I don't even understand that stuff now. I don't know. I didn't.
In that case, send a lot of eggplants.
Okay. No, it is such a new thing. I didn't mention last week that I had messaged a girl on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah.
We stopped messaging, by the way. Anybody who was keeping up with that? I just sort of got bored.
Well, she hasn't heard all 36 questions. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. No, but I was just like, I'm just not really into this. Anyway.
It's good that you say that publicly.
But then there was a lot of emoji usage.
Right.
And when I was dating much younger,
because
I haven't really properly dated for a long time,
yep,
then emojis weren't really a thing. Nobody really used emojis. Now it's like you have to,
there certainly
to keep
wasn't,
up with the trend.
There certainly wasn't an emoji movie.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it's turned into.
So people you're like, you're not an emoji guy.
And I maybe used to put like a smiley face at the end of a message, you know?
That's hardly but even an emoji anymore.
It's not. It's definitely not. And it's like you have to put different faces for different contexts of things. Sometimes you don't even say a word.
By
you
the
just
way,
put an
just
emoji.
In case, Nelson is mid-20s. He's not an old man.
I'm 27 or something. But I don't know. It's just... it just doesn't seem right, Campbell. Smiley face once in a while, fine. Other stuff. And because there's like 20 different smiley face emojis as well. There's like smiley face, eyes open. Smiley face, eyes closed. Smiley face with like water coming out of his eyes. Kind of like, you know,
laughing.
Yeah. Laughing as he's crying. But then... smiley face with water coming in its eyes and on a slight tilt. I just saw that one recently.
Yep.
It's like a new one. It's the exact same. They've just rotated it like 45 degrees. This is the stupidest thing in the world.
So I'm just Snapchatting you right now. I'm going to put an emoji over your head, Nelson.
Okay. Do you want me to put it on the angle? Which one are you doing? I don't know.
No, see, Nelson, you're such a newbie to this.
God. Snapchat's the other thing. Stop sending your bloody dog photos, okay? Looking like a dog or anything.
See, I just put an emoji over your head, Nelson.
Oh, man. That's ridiculous.
Now it's stuck to your head.
Okay. See, what? Why
that
is
great.
Oh, man. We'll put that on Facebook or something.
Now.
Can you put that stuff on Facebook?
Here's the question. I could, yeah.
Okay.
Here's the question.
Because otherwise this isn't very good listening
material.
Here's
the question. You have, at the moment, the emoji with the water coming out of the eyes.
Yeah.
Is that the tilted one, or have I tilted the regular one?
I think you've tilted the regular one, but I wouldn't really know, because they look exactly the same. Anyway. It's ridiculous. So anyway, I would like the mind to keep my mind. Okay. That's good. I'm actually really interested in the fact that we had different answers for that. I thought that you might choose the mind as well. But
we do normally have the same answer for everything.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting. Okay. All right, Cambe. Let's get into Ask Me Anything.
Okay.
It's about bloody time. I think this episode's gone for a really long time, so which is surprising.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Which one are you going to do? Did we decide? We didn't discuss
no,
this.
No, I'll do it either. You pick one and I will do the other.
Well... there's a file I have to download for Rowan's, so
Do you want me to do Amanda's in the meantime?
Do Amanda's. Okay. Yep.
This is from Amanda, listener of the show. It's quite a long email, so I'm going to have to abbreviate it somewhat. Apologies, Amanda. Just this episode's gone so long. she said, hey guys, so excited because I finally thought of an Ask Me Anything for you. This is something I often think of in all sorts of situations, and it's firsts. Which we've covered similar things like this before. She talks about the first person to eat durian, I think it's called the
durian.
The,
yep.
Durian, the weird plant.
It's like Asian. It's very common in Asia.
Yep.
I'm going to say China because who's going to prove me wrong?
And she talks about who was the first person to shave, which is actually good. I hadn't ever thought of that before.
Yeah, because apparently some scientists found a rock that were like, that's used for shaving.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But she said, so I'm curious about your thoughts on firsts. A lot of my other ones involve cooking and who invented various ways of cooking different stuff. I could go on.
Yeah.
Which we've done something similar to this before with a shower thought, I think in our very first episode.
Yeah.
Which was the first person to make popcorn must have freaked out.
Yeah.
We talked about, who was the first person to milk a cow and who was the first person to...
Eat yogurt.
That's bad milk.
Yeah. All that stuff. Mm. It was very dairy specific.
Yeah. But there's all kinds of things. Like, I am curious about who was the first person to bungee jump for fun.
That's true. Actually, that's a good one.
They jumped off a mountain with something strapped to them, got to the bottom and went, huh, that's not bad. There's something in this.
I didn't die.
Yet I had fun.
I could make a lot of money off this. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And even just the process of that, I think, in the sense that you might fluke it once.
Yep.
Maybe that's where it happened. Actually, funny enough, I think I do. Oh, it was on Idiot Abroad with Carl Pilkington and Ricky Gervais. And there was this tribe that did bungee jumping and they used vines.
Oh.
And I'm not sure, but I wonder if that's where it sort of came from initially. But my point was you obviously have to work out how dense you need the rope, but also it needs the elasticity so that it's not too tight.
Doesn't
break your legs. So my point is, even just the process to get to the point of where you have the exact right rope, that would just be such a scary process, don't you think? It's first time did it. Oh my God, fluked it. Amazing. All right. And then get somebody else and they're like, oh, I weigh 20 kilos heavier. I'm like, probably need to adjust this and just, wrap a bit of my string and go, all right, give that one a go. See if you survive that. I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, I saw this thing on Facebook the other day, and it was in New Zealand, this flying fox. And on this flying fox, you jump off a cliff face, and you fall about 5 meters, and then it catches you.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yep.
But I remember thinking, obviously, you've gone from one side of this chasm to the other, and you've shot this wire across, and you've harnessed it all up, and you've tested it with dummies and weights. But still being that first guy to test it out must be so scary.
Yeah.
What do you wear? And this might be dumb, but do you wear a parachute?
Maybe you do. You probably do. Or have other wires attached to you, other ropes that have been tested in separate tests.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That actually also reminds me of I think you know about it, but... listeners don't know, there was a theme park in America about this guy. It was a family-owned theme park and it was really super popular, but at the time theme parks were super unregulated.
Yeah.
So this guy used to create his own rides, his own roller coasters and stuff. Oh, maybe not roller coasters, but I know he created his own slide and it was a loop-de-loop, and he wasn't creating these and working out the mathematics of, what had to happen for the, gravity to pull the person all the way around a slide or whatever. And so he used to get his staff to test it out.
Right.
And I think he'd get paid an extra little bit. But I was that. And at this park, it was notorious for having deaths, fatalities. This park, in the, I don't know, maybe 10 years it was operating and had five deaths or something like that. And people would get injured, you know. The idea was like, there was a bobsled ride. Where you sit on a little thing and you, not a bobsled, a...
Toboggan.
Toboggan, that's the thing. A toboggan ride. And there's like photos of people that are just like, have fallen off at one point because he's just made it himself and people have gone too fast and like been cut by rocks and stuff like that. And so they made a documentary about it and somebody was like, basically, if you went to this park and you didn't have an injury at the end, you didn't have a fun time. You know, it's just like this weird thing where it was, people just accepted getting hurt at this park and it was fine. But yeah, I can imagine the idea of being the first person to test out one of these rides.
Yeah.
Or even the very first roller coaster or whatever, the first drop, the first loop to loop. All that stuff would just be super scary, yeah. I reckon. Who's going to do that? Yeah.
Well, there you go, Amanda. I hope that somewhat answered your question. It was a little bit off on a tangent.
Flying.
That was the ride, bro.
I know, but like, idiots. Didn't they think they could fall out of the sky? Well, you know...
They did many times.
The Wright brothers are the ones that we remember because all the other people who tried to fly died in horrible accidents. That's what I'm saying. Anyway. All right.
Yeah, have you opened the necessary file?
I have. Okay. So I'll start with the question from... the email from Rowan.
Yep.
So, gentlemen, as noted last week, I have accepted your challenge to lower my intellect and at the same time channel Vin's filthy mind to come up with an epic dick question. An EDQ, if you will.
Yep.
In order to give you the option to respond to this live, I have attached the question rather than include it in the email of Bonnie. See, that's what I'm saying? Pretty smart. Pretty smart, Kembe. He obviously doesn't, you know, understands... Like the feeling that you go through each week, not knowing anything about the show. And he obviously really likes that.
Yeah.
I, for one thing, is horrible. okay, anyway. The EDQ, epic dick question. Would you rather sit naked opposite each other with your knees touching and have to stare at each other's dick for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Or,
Rowan, what have you become? Oh,
he's become Vin. He pointed this out. Or stand next to each other fully clothed and have to hold each other's naked dick for 30 seconds but without having to look at it. That is so funny. Oh my God.
Okay, so it's look at a dick for 10 minutes. So
look at a dick for 10 minutes, fully naked, looking at each other's dicks. Knees touching, even.
Yeah.
So personal space violated. Yeah. Although if I'm holding your dick, probably still personal space violated.
Here's my question, Nelson.
Yeah.
If you were to go for the hold the dick, right?
Okay, yeah.
Is it better or worse if it's erect or not?
I didn't... Can I tell
because
you? I instantly, for some reason, thought that they were erect. When I imagined this question, I was like, because it's easier to hold on to, obviously.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, weirdly, flaccid seems weirder.
I know. I would be like, come on, mate. You just think of something else. that is really funny. Yeah, holding a flaccid, that would be pretty weird.
Yeah. I would feel weirder about that for some reason.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. And because that's the problem as well. If we're naked, knees touching, staring at each other's dicks, and it's flaccid...
Mm.
But then one starts moving. Maybe that's also an issue.
Yeah. Is there an option for one of us to choose one and the other choose the other?
Okay.
So, like, say you're completely naked and you have to look at my dick for 10 minutes, but I just have to touch yours for 30, but then I can kind of, I can then, go on,
30
seconds go on my
as well.
Phone or whatever.
That's the, that's the benefit. So, I get to say... Because if it was equal time, you would just go for the looking at the penis, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Or you wouldn't go touching.
Yeah.
But it's like, hold your dick for 30 seconds.
Because I'm normally a big proponent of just get the awful thing over with and get it done quicker.
Yeah.
Which makes me lean more towards, I'll just touch it for 30 seconds.
Mm. 10 minutes of looking at dick.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, I'd just get bored.
That's what I mean. Dicks aren't attractive.
But like, I know.
And again... is it weird if it's erect or not?
Yeah, I know. Do you know what I think would be funnier is if at the same time we both have to be looking at porn.
Right. Yeah.
That gets twist. That's getting real. That gets real weird. Because then we've definitely got boners. Strange. Yeah. And you wouldn't want to move, would you? If the other person had boner, you're holding onto it. You're like, I do not want to make this worse. Or give pleasure in any way.
Yeah, you wouldn't want your hand to slip.
Exactly.
And then the other one go, ooh.
Slip again.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Did Rowan look this question up? Or has this come from his mind?
I think it's
that's come. What I... Because this is a really weird one.
No, I think everybody has what I like to call a secret Vin side to them.
Okay. Where... their Vin
and,
sides.
And their Vin sides.
Deep Vin side them.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is really creative. I like this. As a,
yeah,
no,
me too. It's a really interesting...
Do you know, I think in the end, I'm going to have to go with the just looking at your
looking
dick
at for 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I just don't think I could hold your dick for well, even 30 seconds.
Here's the thing, right? Like, I'm comfortable in my sexuality.
Yeah.
I reckon I could hold a dick for 30 seconds and be like, I'm not gay.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's not that, but it's just a little bit...
10 minutes, though.
It's a bit weird. 10 minutes is a
long. Okay, no, you know what? I would do the look at the dick knee to knee.
Yeah.
But like if we could be podcasting at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'd just be looking at your dick, but I could still be talking okay. to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably do that.
So like, stay tuned for episode 38. right. Okay. Good one. Glad we got that sorted.
And we don't have to hold a dick.
We don't have to hold a dick. Yeah, we didn't have to do either of those
that
things.
That was an epic dick question.
It was an epic dick question.
EDQ. Our EDQ ratio had been down lately.
Yeah,
I'm glad we can get the numbers back up.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Vin, your challenge is still out there to okay. write us in a normal
I don't
question.
Think we should be encouraging this behavior. I'm just putting it out there.
Amanda had quite a normal question, Vin. Why?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Anyway... Oh, that's it. That's it for the show.
Yeah. Also, if you want to send us your own epic dick question, where would they do that, Nelson?
They could do that at Reddit podcast, R-E-A-D-I-T podcast at gmail.com.
Yep.
Or at Twitter.
Yep.
At Facebook. Yep. Or our subreddit. It's all R-E-A-D-I-T podcast. We'd also really super love it if you could rate us on iTunes.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a subscribe and a like and a... How do you do? I don't know.
Tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat. Camber, I think this is actually our longest episode. I'm pretty sure.
You know how shows normally
we'll cut it.
Refine
we'll cut
their formula?
Yeah.
And they become shorter because they realize
they're like, oh, we're snappy. Longer. We're getting, yeah. I don't know. I did read more. Let's see. I don't know why. Anyway, thanks for listening.
That just sums up the show, isn't it? You had nothing anyway.
Anyway, look, we appreciate that you stayed right to the end.
Yeah.
You, the one person that just left it on. They fell asleep on the couch.
Well, if they've fallen asleep on the couch, let's test this.
Yeah.
Wake up!
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, that's going to be really annoying for anybody else that was awake and had headphones in.
No one else is listening
yeah,
to this,
well,
Nelson.
We don't know that. Anyway, thanks for
this
listening.
This is why it's so long.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will read you later.